And we are recording. We are
live. I love
live.
Teletoping with Greg.
We are live, by the way, everyone.
Hello,
so
everybody.
Say your hellos for the
Hello,
second
everybody.
Game. Second game of the day that we are recording in. The only new entrance from last game is Daniel. So you get a special welcome. So say hi, Daniel.
Why? Hello.
Yeah.
Happy to be.
So, before we started recording, Tom, you gave your predictions, but I think we'll just sort of go through everyone. Do you all want to... We'll start with you, Tom, but what is everyone's predictions?
So, obviously, England and Scotland do play each other a fair bit in the Home Nations Cup. But the English side, they always look good. I think a lot of players are going to be out for blood after the things that happened in Paris a month or so ago. So I think the English are going to be off for a good start. I think they're going to win this game 6-0.
Yeah, I'd have to kind of agree with Tom here. As good as the Scottish are, England are really up there with, you know, France and the US as one of the big three, you know, teams in the sport. So one would say that they'll probably get a roll on early and then easily score a couple of goals in the first half and then probably another couple in the second. But I do like to be proven wrong, so we'll see what happens.
I don't. I stake my reputation on being right all the time.
I'm saying 3-0.
3-0, Josh.
You say 3-0?
You give it a more of a chance than we are.
Well,
see, I'm going to go the opposite way and go 8-0.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, unfortunately, and we will acknowledge this, I don't know the names of the two players, but Tom Byrne,
there are more than two players, Matthew.
No, the two players for Scotland that have passed away.
I don't recall their names either, unfortunately.
Yes.
I should probably do my due diligence on that. But yeah, the Scottish side have had some passing aways in recent times, which has really hampered their formation. So this will be a bit of a challenge for them to try and work out, you know, how you adapt to playing football without some of your key players.
And also, another bit of lore, I believe Scotland's old manager is now managing the English team.
Yes, he's now the English coach.
So that'll be a bit interesting. One would imagine he's probably got a bit of insight into how Scotland play. So,
well, you'd imagine.
We mentioned it last game, but now that we've got Daniel here, I want to get his opinion on it too. The hazard tape used on the box. Do we rate that choice, Daniel?
From my screen, it kind of messes with the screen. So,
if I may, I was discussing with Dane, the Queensland president, this morning about the pitch, and the just never-ending blue, the never-ending blue on this pitch is driving us up the wall. I
like it.
I don't. It's so distracting, and it means that you just lose track of where the field is. You think that the field is just the basketball court, when it's actually like
a bit more,
3 meters wider.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they've done. With the hazard tape, why is the outline of the box a different color to the rest of the field?
Well, this by the standards of some of the European courts I've seen over the years, this is like somehow not the worst in terms of, like, horrific amounts of colour and lines and mess. I'm conscious I'm on the podcast, so I'm trying to not use some of the words that I would use here.
It looks like a half-decent playing surface, though. It looks like there's a good bit of grip. There was Lebelair from France did try to tip his chair over several times in his game, but that was spinning too fast.
That's the French.
They
just do that.
The French, yeah, they do that. I'm looking forward to the Japanese doing that as well when APO comes around in October.
Yes, that'll be very, very exciting, which you'll get to hear myself and Matt and Jax throughout the week.
It's always going to be entertaining.
Johnny, that is a violent spin from John Bolden.
There wasn't much he could do with it. It was a bit too high for him.
So it looks like England are okay with just having Chris Gordon in goals. They don't seem to have anybody else with a goalkeeper jersey ready to go.
He's tried and tested, probably the best keeper in the world. I don't see any reason why you'd... Obviously, you'd probably want to have a plan in case something crazy happens, but realistically...
Yeah, it always helps having an extra jersey or two on the side, as I learned harshly in Paris, in that...
But as long as you have the shirt there and not back in your hotel room, should be okay.
Yeah. Who would make that mistake?
Who would make that mistake in one World Cup?
Yeah, exactly. Not
me. I wouldn't do that. I've never played in one.
That's the levels. That's the difference, Matt. I'm just that good.
No one can compare to Jackson Taylor.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying. No one listens to me, Daniel. Thank you.
You're so special. No one can compare to you.
Okay, well, now you make it sound like an insult.
Yeah, that was...
Are you suggesting that it already wasn't?
Yeah, that's exactly, Jax.
Welcome to the Powered by Football podcast, rubbing people on to bully me.
Yeah, isn't that the point of the podcast?
You say that like I don't do that already.
Words in my mouth now, Jax? Are you saying that I did mean it as an insult, or are you saying that I didn't mean it as an insult?
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
We're witnessing a power move in that Chris Gordon is now deep into the Scottish half during warm-ups.
Yeah,
casually.
Just to follow on from earlier jokes, the English clearly stand colonialism.
Yeah, they do.
And they're colonizing. They're colonizing Scotland's half the field.
I mean, it's so unheard of for the English to stand colonialism that much, but you know.
Yeah.
No.
Never heard of anything like that.
No.
I can't wait till Spain plays England. God, that's going to be fun.
I wonder if anyone's going to have their ear cut off and bitten off.
What? Am I missing something there?
Little history joke there.
Okay, I feel like I'm...
The English and the Spanish fought a war because a Spaniard cut off an Englishman's ear. Lasted like 2 weeks.
That sounds like most wars. Didn't Britain and the US almost go to war over a pig?
Sounds about right.
Welcome to the Powered by Football podcast, where a bunch of white men talk about war.
Hey guys, how often do you guys think about the Roman Empire?
More often than I'd like to admit.
No, not that often, because the Greeks are way cooler.
Okay, but the Roman Empire was the longest spanning empire ever. It ran from the 1800 and something BC to the conquering of Constantinople by the Ottoman Empire in 1400 AD. So you're counting
the Byzantines as being part of the original Roman Empire?
Well, yeah, because they did... The Byzantine Empire was essentially the Eastern Roman Empire when the original Roman Empire split at some point, I think about 500 AD. They split into the Western Roman Empire, consisting of Spain and Italy, France, and most of, like, northwestern Africa, and then the Western Empire, which consisted of Greece, current day Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and those kind of areas. Little history lesson for you there.
I love that. No, I'm not a big Roman Empire guy. I big Greek guy, so love that Percy Jackson guy. He's awesome.
In other news, welcome to the Power Chair Football Podcast, the podcast where people in wheelchairs talk about the Roman Empire.
It's... Now, they were colonizers.
Oh, man. They... Like, S-tier colonizers, though.
S-tier colonizers until they weren't.
Until they themselves got colonized.
Hey, isn't that everybody weren't like every country S-tier colonizers until they weren't?
It's a colonizer world out there.
Stay safe, guys.
Practice safe colonization.
Are we all enjoying
what this? What is this? What are we doing?
Anyway, this football
game's about to kick off.
Invite Tom on, they said.
The football's about to start.
Football's
about to start. It looks like England are going with their standard top four lineup. John Boldin in the middle, Chris Gordon at the back, and
Harrison.
Harrison and McClellan.
Harrison tried to brute force his way through the Scottish winger. That doesn't usually work. Get some whistle for it, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, I thought that one was a bit 50-50. I thought, if anything, the Scottish player gave that one away.
Yeah, Harrison was very much looking for contact there.
Hmm.
Boldin trying to flick it away. Harrison now on the ball, guarded by that same winger from before. Looking to the right wing. And looks like we're just seeing a lot of dribbling here from the Scottish this morning, Italian time.
The Scottish are very strong in these one-on-ones to start the game.
If the Germans had had a bit more strength earlier, perhaps it would have worked for them, but yeah, you need to be passing with modern power chair football. Another goal kick for England. Lovely passing, just cut off though. Well, in the last 5 minutes, we've gone from talking about the Roman Empire to dead silence.
I'm currently uploading the video of our previous match, okay? I'm very busy.
You're such a busy host.
Public video.
He's got people to see, places to be.
Does he?
Stuff to do.
All right.
And that was
the last
you heard. And that was the last you heard of Tom Byrne. He got banned immediately after this sentence.
I have the power to ban all of you from the podcast. Isn't that cool?
Except me.
I mean, I could.
I for one love our Jackson Taylor overlord.
That's co-ownership, Jackson. You've let me out of the basement.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Baldwin just stealing the ball from the Scottish number 9. Love to see it.
Beautiful little touch there from Ed Harris. He's won the.
Yeah, won a corner. There. A traditional
Marcus Harrison, I think you mean.
Yeah, Marcus Harrison. I just said Ed Harris, didn't I?
Yeah.
Very traditional setup here from the Scottish in defence, which.
That sentence has been said for millions of years.
Oh
yes, Dan.
Amazing goal. There's the first.
There's the first of how many?
I mean,
in traditional, I like.
That's pretty much, that's kind of the English set piece trademark, isn't it? Just bangs it in far post, beautifully passed there from the corner.
Chris Gordon as well for the dummy at the near post.
Keep the defense interested in that.
Keep the defense at the near side. Oh, we're seeing a charge for the opening kickoff. I'd love to see it.
That is a very interesting kickoff. We've seen quite the variation in kickoffs this tournament, because we saw previous game that the just to bang it out as far down the field as you can.
I've tried a charge kickoff in the past. It doesn't. It's fun, but I don't think it does.
You seem like the kind of guy who tries charge goal kicks, kickoffs.
Is that a compliment or an insult?
Yeah.
Good head, sir.
Tell Taylor, we never know.
Oh, nice play. Unlucky.
So I can now confirm that on YouTube, the review of us watching the last game is live, and it is set for 9 p.m. to upload for the other, for Spotify and all that.
Nice, really, really helpful information for our viewers listening to this in post.
Yeah, well, it's not really for them; it's for you lot. Because I'm okay to go a bit behind the scenes for everybody, right? Both in studio and at home. My hosting platform only lets me.
Oh, he's by the corner there.
Upload 2 gigabytes.
Ooh, we can't do that.
What happened?
The goalkeeper number 7, the goalkeeper just drove around the post to get in position.
Oh, that's
How dare you disrupt peeling back the curtain for actual football?
Oh, the referee was fixing the post and didn't see it, but that's a yellow. That's a yellow.
It's the sort of thing that the fourth official probably should be paying attention to, but everybody moves on and nobody complains.
Oh, love this, though.
And we have another 2-1-1 there.
I think that was the two wingers for England. But I'm not sure that they were really close enough there to give that away.
No, I think it would have been Gordon and Harrison.
Oh, yeah, okay, that makes a little more sense. Because Gordon was pushed up a bit high.
That's definitely one way to do that.
There's millions of ways. That wouldn't have been any of my top five.
That's because you can't actually stop the ball with the front of your chair.
I'm getting better.
We love a bit of back passing.
It's a good switch there. It's a good switch.
Just to go back to the earlier point, I myself have had a yellow from going behind the post. It's a fun time. I didn't know it was a rule at the time. I just was like, I'll just go around the post because the box is so congested. Oh, I got a yellow for it. Okay, then.
I just realised, is Brad Bates not on the bench for England?
No, that's he is not part of his squad.
Hmm. That's interesting. He's normally a mainstay. Oh, that's a beautiful ball.
Oh, amazing ball. Oh.
And wins the goal kick as well.
Likewise. Jeez.
They've done well.
Look, Brad's a very talented player. But when I played against him here at Club Champs, he's a bit predictable, and the English don't like predictable. They like chaos.
Hence we stand colonialism.
Hence we stand colonialism, exactly.
Oh, no.
Hence we stand interesting goalkeeping routines that lead to corners.
Okay,
now, something that a lot of us on this podcast can all relate to.
I will say, unfortunately, a bit of insider information because I have the commentary going for mine. They've turned into the aliens from Mars Attacks, unfortunately.
Doing that yesterday too.
Oh,
he will be the future of the English power chair football team. Will damn.
He is. McClellan is absolutely fantastic, isn't he?
Oh my god, he's awesome. Good.
He's young as well.
I mean, you know where he's going to hit that, right? Because he's already done it twice. One of which didn't come off.
Screen behind the team benches that have the England and Scotland.
Yeah,
you know,
his face.
The whole squad.
It does. Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Very cool piece of technology.
I mean, it did say Northern Ireland on there earlier in the Belgium game, so I'm not sure what was going on there.
Technical difficulties. Oh, another good play. Oh, I would have just yeeted it, but you know, different choices.
Yeah, the commentary on the live stream currently sounds like.
I'm gonna guess that's why we're also getting the static overhead shot as well, because technical issues.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, go for the spin. Good go for the murderous spin.
He was too close on this.
Look at that. Call. I mean,
that's just this... the centre of John Bolden. Wins the throw in as well.
Mm. John Bolding is one of the premier middle players, I'd say, easily in the world.
The only thing this trophy captain doesn't have is a Club World Cup because he was too busy getting red carded.
Yeah, well, that was
controversial.
Controversial to say the least, yeah, definitely.
That game was just a bundle of what the heck is going on.
Yeah, and that I remember.
Oh, that's a two. And the referee has seen it. Oh, he's playing advantage. He's
playing advantage. Yeah, refs are being a lot better at playing advantage at the end for the aforementioned reasons.
Oh, look at this pass. Go oh, my shot. God. Oh. These guys are.
And the referee was satisfied that advantage was indeed taken and hasn't called it back, which is interesting.
Two or three good shots there. I'd say that's.
Drink break. So, drink break. Spray.
Oh, they're still.
Apparently, it's like. We don't know where they're playing, but apparently it's 23 degrees in Rome, so...
They...
Not too bad.
I can play the game of where... Yeah.
All right, Rainbow, go for it.
Keep the podcast going whilst I look at...
Well, I would assume that it's probably somewhere near Sicily, because that'd be a lot warmer, right?
Supposedly, yeah.
Because that's like middle of the Mediterranean. Because surely they wouldn't be having rest breaks if it's only like 23 degrees in Rome, and they're playing in Rome.
Like a state thing.
The town is called Lignano Sabadioro, and according to Google Weather, it is 26 degrees right now. Sorry, it is 24 degrees right now with a top of 26.
We've played in 40 degree weather without drinks breaks, though.
Yeah,
like...
so have I. Like. It's
we did it. Do you remember that one year in where we played the world, the club championships at Homebush during a heat wave, and it was like 35 degrees, pretty much, from like 9 a.m. onwards.
I mean, the first Brisbane club chance was like 30 degrees in August.
It was. That was very nice.
You were not wearing your jumper during winter. It was, like, incredible.
I've still got my jumper on currently.
I mean, it's pretty chilly now. But...
I didn't have my jumper on earlier this week, though, actually.
Oh, God, are you okay, Matthew?
No, what if I'm not okay.
Anyway, Bolden playing in that central role once more.
2-1 against Scotland.
And a handball violation by John Bolden.
Eh, John just does that.
So I'll be interested to see how they set up here. So they are just going to do the one wide either side. Is McClellan going to get a hat-trick here?
Oh, surely he doesn't today.
He's got the extra player on... top of him, so it's going to be probably towards Harrison. That's going to be McClellan to Harrison, and everyone just stands.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, that's
still England ball. I really like all the different camera angles they've got as well.
It is very fancy.
It's really good.
Well, somebody in the Scottish bench is about to get murdered. Oh, Marcus does not hit them. Here's the hat trick.
Oh, there is the hat trick.
Three of the best. He's made them pay. And that completes a wonderful hat trick.
Scotland's defense is just not quite up to it. I mean, McClellan there just had ample room to pick from there.
The goalkeeper sat there.
See, I think the goalkeeper was kind of in the right spot, but he needed to move the moment the ball was hit. The moment he knew it wasn't going near post, he needed to cover the gap in the middle. And he's just reacted a little too late.
Yeah, he was in the right spot originally and then just didn't move.
Because he's got to mark that near post. Once the near post is out of contention,
now
he needs to move
up for
across.
It by being 1,000 kilometers outside the box and near them living away. Does
oh, and they've called him for a two here.
That'll be on the very edge of the box as well. Oh, no, it's a long way out of the box. Right, repeated it before, lads?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the blockout play on the goalie here could work because he's in front of the line.
I just got
to oh,
Johnny. Oh, Johnny missed it.
No, he just dummied it for his goalkeeper,
for
obviously.
For real, I had forgotten that Chris Gordon was in this game. He's had to
He hasn't had to do a lot at the moment.
Had to do nothing in the last 10 minutes. One of those nice, easy fans in the NFL, people where you just do nothing. Watch the scoreboard roll on.
Yeah.
What's your new score prediction, Josh?
Josh isn't here anymore. He left
Josh
us.
Left.
He's gone. Josh
he
is
got in. Embarrassed that his score was beaten very quickly.
So I think they've called Marcus Harrison here on contact.
The English as a team and I think as a nation, they play with a lot more contact than the rest of the world does. Which
no, I feel like Australia are fairly contact heavy. And you see a lot of those South American teams are very contact heavy as well.
We're not contact heavy in the way that the English are. The English are very
contact heavy.
The English do it because that's how they play football. We do it because we just don't drive our chairs very well.
I drive my chair very well. I purposely make contact.
Well, okay then.
You got to rough up the play. Look, physicality is.
Far out. He's...
Marcus Harris is having an absolute blinder in this game.
Do we want to just give Dan the golden yard right now?
Yeah, he's clearly stat-padding now.
Dan did fantastically here. Didn't do a whole lot. Didn't need to do a whole lot. Just angled his chair perfectly just so that it would like glide in. He had plenty of gap to choose from at that far post.
And I think a lot of players would at that moment want to belt the ball when in fact just
yeah or try and hit it in.
I want the ball to be over there. I don't need to hit it very hard to do so, and it works.
Oh damn.
Oh no.
Play on. Ball down.
I mean, if I remember correctly, they had to get special dispensation for Dan McClellan to come to the World Cup as a bench player, right? He was too young. He was 16 at the time, from memory, I believe.
No, younger than that. He's,
I'd say a lot
he's
younger
than
that.
He's 17 now, I think. He's 16 now.
I mean, he is absolutely... He'll be the England captain at some stage.
Once Johnny,
you see how good he plays.
Once Johnny hands up the boots, he'll be definitely the captain. Anyway, throw in here for Scotland. 2 minutes left in the half. And that attempt, not bad, just didn't work. Careful with the back of the chair there, Dan. Oh, good pass.
Gordon's getting a little bit more involved these past couple of minutes.
Yeah, you've got Gordon.
What
a tantalizing
ball. Oh, dangerous spin.
I don't think that's dangerous spin. I think that's charging
I don't think that's dangerous because firstly, he didn't make contact and the guy charged at him when he saw him spinning.
Yeah,
see, dangerous spin, right? You need to be spinning without being aware of where anybody else is, right? If the person who's charging in sees you start spinning, it's not on the onus of the player spinning to suddenly go, okay, I can't spin here. You know what I mean?
hard to see there's a player there when you've got your back to them because you're already in the spin.
Absolutely. Like, if you see the player coming and then you go to spin, sure, right? Because you've seen that player and you've decided to spin anyway, you're the one creating the dangerous situation. But if you come charging in at someone that's already spinning and they don't see you and contact is initiated, that's not on the spinner's, that's not the spinner's fault.
No, not at all.
So welcome to the Powered by Football podcast, where we teach the guy who runs the podcast about the sport.
You'd never guess which one of us has been to Paris playing the sport.
Yeah. Honestly, it probably shouldn't have been me, in all honesty.
I think this is another 2-on-1 here.
I don't know. I wasn't paying enough attention. I was too
unfortunately, Scotland are a bit shaky at the back now. They're kind of getting in each other's way.
It tends to happen when you go 4-0 down. You just kind of start losing trust in each other, and then all hell breaks loose. And then
far out.
For Dan McClellan.
Far out.
I'm gonna also say congratulations to Daniel for correctly predicting the most goals out of all of us.
Thank you.
Should roll back. No goal.
Oh,
something went wrong.
No goal.
Let's try and work this out. It's a 2-on-1 violation.
So,
you know what?
Yeah, it's Harrison.
I mean, all Marcus Harrison needed to do there was back up the moment he made contact with the ball, and it was a goal.
I think he attempted to. I think the chair bought down and didn't go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Sometimes that does happen when you try to, you know, rapidly change direction.
Especially when it's the first match of the tournament, different weather conditions. If it is very humid and hot, sometimes the chairs can bonk down. Good run up the middle here. 3-on-2. And Chris Lewis says, nah, I want the ball. Pass? No pass. We're just going to run it. Decision making.
I love your commentary, Tom. It's so descriptive.
Professional.
And that is half time by the looks of things. So we've got a 10-minute break here until second half. But, I mean, what a start from England. We knew, you mentioned it, Tom, after their not necessarily lackluster club championship, where both of the English teams probably didn't quite perform as well as they would have liked. But you mentioned that they'd come out, you know, with a point to prove. And sure enough, they have. 4 goals to Dan McClellan. He is absolutely having a blinder. He seems to almost had 5, only just gave away a 2-on-1. But, England just kind of, they almost seem like they can score at will at this point. So, I'm curious as to whether Scotland will make any tactical changes with their defense, because they looked quite shaky towards the end of that second half, defense-wise.
You'd have to make some sort of changes, because you can't play like we've just seen and expect to get positive results at an international tournament. They need to do better, otherwise they're going to get absolutely blasted throughout the rest of the week and end up right down the bottom of the table, which would be a real shame, given that they are one of the top nations. I think they were second in the last tournament they were in, which means they were like 7th rated in Europe. This would not help them if they play like this throughout the week.
I mean, from what I can see on the bench, it looks like they are staying with the goalkeeper set up at least. Whether or not they make any substitutions, we'll have to wait and see. But
I think just part of it is going to be telling your defense, calm down, relax. Yes, the scoreboard has gotten away from us. The focus now is getting that momentum back so that you can play well in your next match later on today.
I'd argue that that's one of the hardest things to do, is to get that momentum back.
Well, especially with the way England are playing currently.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got to make a habit of going, right, that 20 minutes was bad. We don't want to talk about that 20 minutes apart from the fact that we need to. Let's focus on the here and now. The here and now is we've got 20 minutes to get through. Let's try and not play like that again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they started off the half well. They were very physical, kind of up in England's face, trying not to let them get those passing lanes off. But then they just kind of dropped off after that first. Once that first goal went in, they kind of just, they, you could really tell they dropped their heads, I feel like.
Yeah, the ability to press other teams is very much reliant on your own confidence and your own stamina. And when you have a goal coming against you, those are the first two things to go, is the head and the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, that's when catastrophes happen and you end up down four at half time.
Yeah. But I mean, credit to England. They've played absolutely outstanding. To be honest, I don't think they could have started the game any better.
And when Dan McLellan scores goals like that, like, he makes them look easy. And part of that is because the passing to him has been exceptional.
They've been pinpointed.
The whole English team, just, they look on it today. They really look like they're here for this game, and they want to get off on a good start to this tournament, knowing that the group stage they probably are going to get through fairly easily, but they need to be ready for when they play the big teams from the other pool in the semis and the final.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you think England will make a change to the starting lineup?
I think now that they're up four, I think they probably will, in looking towards resting players. There's a lot of football to be had over the next week, and you want to make sure that players like Johnny and Chris are good to go at the end of the week rather than using them up now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Goal difference, I feel like, will matter, but I feel like it'll matter less for England and France, if that makes
sense. It'll matter for
because,
the team in the lower half of the table.
Yeah, realistically speaking, England and France should top their groups. They're in opposite groups, so they won't meet each other until semis, or most likely a final. I'm not entirely sure how the final system is going to work.
I'm assuming first will play second
from each pool,
yeah,
right?
First place second, yep.
Yeah, so realistically, they probably won't meet each other until the final, if assuming they make the final, obviously.
And
Scott,
the big question mark in Group B at the moment is how are the Italians going to do? Because we saw them last night really tear the Danish apart.
Yeah.
And if the Italians play like they did against the Danish, the Danish won't be going to Argentina, and then they'll...
Which will be a real shame, because they had a fantastic World Cup.
They did, but they played terribly last night, and they've already been beaten easily. If they do not win their game against Ireland, that's pretty much curtains for the Danish.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of just day after their World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, to go from fifth place in the world to not even making the World Cup in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, pretty bad. Yeah, I'll say it now. I think Italy are a real chance at the semis, having seen how they've
played
last night.
Top two in their pool, you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to give Ireland a real good run for their money. And if they get a result out of that game, they make themselves favourites and go into that semi-final.
Which Ireland is in their pool? Republic of Ireland?
Republic of Ireland is in this pool. Northern Ireland is in the other pool.
And Northern Ireland is the team that played France yesterday.
Northern Ireland is the team that got dismantled by the French last night. Yeah.
I love that you put the accent on Matt every time.
What do you mean?
It's always Ireland.
Ireland. No, yeah. It's just the way I pronounce words. I don't know.
It sounds right.
Is it not how you meant to say it? What?
No, Ireland. It's Ireland. Like, you don't need the R.
Ireland.
If it were technical, Ireland would be how they say it, because that's how the Irish say it.
Yeah, but like, we don't go off Francais, like, you see what I mean?
France.
Yeah, that just makes you sound like a bogan, Jackson.
Have you met me?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
I'm suffering.
Also, please don't say you're a boogan. You are the most well-read person. One of the most well-read person people I've ever met.
One of the most well-read person you've ever met.
Okay,
that's some good English.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Jackson, have you read all the law books that I have?
Law book? Oh, you mean actual law, not L-O-R-E.
I thought L-O-R-E too. And I was let me tell you about 21 Pilots, man. But no.
I could sit here all day and talk about Warhammer, but I probably shouldn't do that. Or, what I actually do, which is astrophysics.
So, Josh...
podcast. It's now a Warhammer podcast.
Josh, I can see your Steam. I know you're playing Siege.
Yeah,
my
bad.
What rank are you, Josh?
Me? I don't have ranked. I don't play the free version.
Oh, okay.
I'm broke.
Fair enough.
I'm now spending too much money on 3D printers and drones. I can't pay for the paid version.
Well, Magic the Gathering had their Spider-Man set come out this week, and I was like, I'm not.
Someone gave me, when I went to Canberra the other day for drone racing, someone gave me 2 free packs of Digimon booster packs.
I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the cards recently. Actually, I still had them somewhere. I was not very good at it.
I've got too many.
Guys, I think we're set with a name for the boat.
Jax's thighs. Did that win? Tell me that one.
Did that win?
There's 15 minutes left and there's 3-1.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
No one explained that, did they, Tom, to you, what that is?
I made some assumptions that it's about your thighs, but I had no context as to why specifically it happened.
So,
nothing to do with
your
thighs.
What? No, so it's a Jackbox joke that lived too long.
Oh, we love those.
Love Jackbox.
Yeah, basically, I'm pretty sure it was like, what's something you can rub together to make fire? And my thighs got submitted.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Here comes the kick.
Uh-oh.
19-7.
Dan McClellan.
He got robbed of
5 in the first half, thanks to a 2-on-1.
He's got his 5th now.
I will say, the assist from John's Balding here is exquisite.
It's a great touch.
Gets a good touch off his back wheel to direct the ball to Dan McClellan, and McClellan just absolutely just pinpoint slots it through the defense.
There is twice that ball goes straight through the defense. True, incredible stuff.
As you can see, it doesn't look like England changed their lineup, and I do not believe France have either.
Scotland. I don't think France have either, because that's not France.
No, it's not France. Scotland. We were talking about France earlier. Anyway, look.
Very professional stuff here on the Power of Football podcast.
Actually,
only the best.
No, we weren't talking about France. We were talking about France. There's a difference.
Yeah.
France.
With a back passing here by the English.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Good touch.
Almost an own goal.
All right, Dan McClellan's 6th coming up.
Yeah.
So was I right with 8-0, you reckon?
I don't think that'll be enough. There'll be more than that.
Yeah, it's a whitewash.
Oh, that's a beautiful vision there from... Oh, but what have they called here? They've called 3 in the box.
That's the side of a defense absolutely falling apart when you have all of them in the box.
That's
unfortunate.
See, 2-on-1's around the box. That's fine. A 3 in the box is something that you very rarely see, especially in an international tournament. Yeah, I agree, Tom. That's a sign of a defense that is not in a good way. But a good read there from number 17.
Yeah, very fast.
Up there, they're going to. They're making some changes now, England.
What about England?
I think they're going to swap the. I think Harris and McClellan are coming off.
You got to let him get as many as he can, right? When you score five, you surely just like, all right, go for the stat padding.
I think five's enough, Jackson.
You
sure? Never know. Look, realistically, they'll probably get a spell just towards the end, just to like help, make sure that
help,
they don't
help the stat padding.
Not the stat. No, not necessarily the stat padding.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is
That's another three in the box.
That's three in the box. This is it's all falling apart now for the Scottish.
There's no communication on the field, by the way. Are they?
Matt, turn your volume up, maybe that might help.
What? No, there's no communication on the field for Scotland.
Whilst we're in this little stoppage, what is everyone's thoughts on Powerchair football having a mercy rule?
No.
Fantastic. Not a bell. Yeah.
So no touch there from the indirect.
I'm glad that we're all in agreement that no, we like seeing teams getting belted.
Yeah, like, I think, you know.
What's the point of a mercy ruling? Because at international tournaments, goal difference is
does matter.
If there's a difference between life and death for some teams.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you set a mercy ruling, but the two worst teams in the comp are getting mercy ruled every game, how do you decide which team finishes where?
Well, the inverse point is sometimes goal difference comes down to who piles on the most against the weak team, which isn't a great spectacle when
true.
Who goes to a group stage depends on whether a team is able to put 20 on the bad team.
That's also true. I feel like that's less of an issue in power chair, at least, because I particularly... Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh, that's rough.
Sorry, but we'll just let this passage in play for it before we continue that conversation.
It's going top of the box, tries to flip it around.
Oh, that's a very nice spin there.
Great spin. Golden on the rim, shoots.
He almost got that.
Gordon to the right wing. It's going to roll away from golf here.
Sorry, so yeah, in international sides, I feel like you don't see people getting beaten by double digits more often than not in power chair. Mainly because it's only a 40-minute game, so you don't really have that long to really pile it on. But also, I mean, that was almost a goal.
That was tricky. At least three.
That was almost another three in the box there as well.
Well, all the goalkeepers in the chat just got PTSD from that moment.
Yeah, look, I'm not going great.
Yeah, we've all seen that happen too many times.
I think all of us are some of us are goalkeepers.
All the best people are goalkeepers.
Last time Daniel played as a goalkeeper, he froze, and he can vouch.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust Daniel in goals either.
I wouldn't. I've seen him play outfield.
Oh.
He'd be giving away penalties left, right, and centre.
He's on mute, so he can't even vouch, so this is just me.
Oh.
We love the riding within two people who can't defend.
This is probably the first genuine look that Scotland have had of this end of the England's side of the field at this point.
And he's giving it away.
It's still love.
What's he going on here? I think he's trying to look for a corner here, but I mean, the defense from England are going to be way too structured to let him get that. He has won the sideline.
He's done well
John
there.
Did not like that. John did not like it either.
Not a fantastic setup here for the Scotland though.
Scotland forever.
Yeah, that gap's.
I mean, that gap was always going to close. They gave them the gap specifically because they knew they could close it. And
this will be a set.
England
have won it.
Interesting. I thought that was 50-50, more 50-50.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Matt. I would have said the same.
That's three of us. Oh, stay in the box, Chris.
That's right, he's in the box.
It was very close. Up the center. Oh, picked off. And another foul kick.
They've upped the tempo here a little bit, Scotland.
I think they've worked out that sitting back and waiting isn't a good idea. And now they've got the ball upfield, they can actually play some ball.
Mm.
Oh, this is sketchy.
Oh dear, that's heavy contact.
How is that going to be judged? Not against the Scottish player, which probably is correct.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a warning here. I'm okay with him not getting a card for that. But
you wouldn't expect a player to be there normally. That's what makes that one weird. Is it's an awkward spot that the English player got themselves into.
Speaking
of awkward. This is interesting. Up the
that is a beautiful clearance.
Passer? Nah.
This is the best passage of football we've seen in the last half hour.
Scotland are actually starting to pass the ball around. It's quite
the last half hour, and there's 30 minutes into the game.
Yes, that was the point, Jackson.
Okay, just making sure that you know.
That's
what
you're
saying. Oh, don't worry, the English have just scored.
No, they haven't.
Oh,
but it was a 2-on-1. They are going to call.
Not quite.
Yeah, there was a collision
penalty?
Somewhere in there.
They've called a penalty.
Called pen. Yeah, okay.
There was a 2-on-1 there, but they played advantage. Well done to them. And I'm not sure where the contact was.
It was on the player that was on the near post to the camera crashed into the winger.
Okay.
Water
break first. So
water
we'll see.
Are you serious? Water break first.
No, they're going to do the penalty first.
Thank God. I was going to say.
It looks like.
So here's the pen. That's the pen there. That's an interesting call.
I don't know about that one. The English guy was backing up.
Yeah, I think.
Probably
a bit hard done by there.
Now, I will say, unfortunately, it doesn't appear that the goalkeeper can move until.
So the rule changed at the last FIFA Congress.
Yes.
It is now keepers cannot move. They can set up how they like, but keepers cannot move. The English commentary were saying how great of a ruling it was, and it's what all the players wanted. Discuss.
Nah.
As a goalkeeper, I hate it.
I hate it.
I understand.
It makes penalties more of a penalty.
I understand that, and I am inclined to agree with you, Josh, there. Because on one hand, yes, it's a penalty. The attacker should be scoring 70 to 80% of the time.
75%
of the time. But in those situations, right?
That's a 95% shot.
The only way you're saving that is if the guy hitting it puts it wide or hits it at you.
Yeah, the other way you're saving it is if the shooter is me.
But I also agree that letting the letting the keeper move was too savable.
I think I don't mind keepers moving. I think what the problem that FIFA had, and they recognised this, was that specific shots were taking 5 minutes to get done.
Yes.
Which is why we in club championships added the 15-second rule, which was then picked up on by FIFA. That rule was a great decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I support that.
Keepers can't move, and it just does my head in. Because
are the attackers still allowed to dummy though?
Strikers can do whatever they want, provided that the ball moves within 15
because
seconds.
That's therein lies the problem, right? Because the keeper can't move, if you dummy, right, and end up looking like an idiot and missing, but if you fake the keeper into moving because you've dummied, it's a retake. Because he's moved before you've hit it.
Yeah, but it takes guard out of the penalty as well.
What was that, Daniel?
There's a whole, almost an art form around taking those penalties, and I feel like it just takes that
out. Because all you need to do is hit it at the post.
Yeah.
There's no way the goalkeeper is going to save it. It not only takes the skill out of taking a penalty, it takes the skill out of saving it. Because you have to be lucky to save it.
Yeah.
There's no skill involved in saving the penalty. It's either the attacker misses or hits it straight at you. So
I still find it, it's...
Because a lot of people, like you included, I spent a lot of time working out a specific penalty kick that I could convert about 80% of the time. But now it's just like, okay, hit it at the post and hope you don't hit the post and it bounces out.
You just need accuracy and you're fine.
You don't even need power, really, do you? You just need to make sure you actually hit the ball on target. It's a shame. I do agree that when the goalie could move, it was too savable.
So if the option is the keeper both should and shouldn't move, Matthew, then what's your solution?
Okay.
Well, what you do is you make sure. So what you can do is, so the attacker can't balk, right? And the moment the attacker begins his swing to hit the ball, that's when the keeper can move.
Somehow you've managed to not give us thrown down as penalty kick. Well done, Matthew.
So then there is still an aspect of skill in both taking and saving the penalty, because you've still got to guess which way he's going to go, but you're more likely to get there roughly, because at the moment you can't get there. The goalie, the ball is over the line before you make any meaningful ground towards where the ball is.
Mm.
If you're allowed to move the moment he starts his swing, realistically, a good penalty is still going to be scored, but you are going to be able to save those more 50-50 ones, where at the moment, even the 50-50 ones are going to go straight in.
Yeah.
Do you think then that there's value in moving the penalty spot back?
I think there has always been value in moving the penalty spot back. I would be fine if they keep all of the current rules they've got now and move the penalty spot back to the top of the box. I would have no issue with that whatsoever. You'd have an extra about half a second to maybe 1.75 seconds to be able to move and cover the ground, which would roughly get you to about that 80% conversion rate.
And for those of you who are joining us on the Spotify feed, there is still a kind of football going on. The English have finally subbed out Bolden and Gordon, so they have now got all four players from the bench now on the field. The scoreline still sits nil. So my prediction actually holding up. Let's go.
Let's hope
the last goal was that penalty kick. My prediction was also 6-0.
I'm still holding my 8.
Yeah, Josh, honestly, it's
there's contact there.
Yeah, don't talk to Josh. He doesn't want to talk to you. But
yeah. How's your 3-0 going, Josh?
Trying to give him a chance. They didn't.
There was 3-0. It was 3-0 squared.
That's not squared.
That's
fine. Only one of us is a rocket scientist.
Yeah, aren't you the bloody rocket scientist?
No, I look at stars, okay, and stars are not. Is he going to get a yellow card?
Oh, we're leading with yellow for the centre back. Leading with yellow.
I think it's multiple infringements of that. I would say. I'd also like to say I've never heard the middle player been referred to as the centre back.
I use the term when the non goalkeeper is the defensive player. See, like in a lot of formations, you'll see the goalkeeper is the player in the middle. I say centre back for the player behind the goalkeeper because they are a defender, but they're not a goalkeeper.
They're in the centre at the back. You know what?
That's a direct throw in goal.
Far out.
No, I.
Daniel, how are you feeling about 8-0?
It's been pulled back. We're going back.
What's happened here?
Referee didn't blow the whistle. I'm going to go with.
Oh no!
You're kidding.
We're getting a lovely replay of a thing that isn't a goal.
Just do it again.
Just wait for the whistle. Wait for the whistle.
I'm trying to figure out what the ruling is here, but
it's
the commentary on the stream is robot, so I don't know.
He didn't wait for the whistle.
I don't think.
Didn't wait for the whistle.
Yeah, it was.
Well, they're marking the near post now.
Oh, that's a corner.
Well, we'll still get our 7 now anyway.
Got 45 seconds.
But Dan is not.
Dan, McClellan's not on, so
you might not get that 7-0, Daniel.
Are they making a substitution here?
They're making a double substitution on the defensive corner. Let's go.
What a great choice.
Great decisions right here.
That is a very nice goalkeeper shirt. They've got the entire thing velcroed, so they can just put it on. The sleeves are velcroed and the back is velcroed, so that's actually so looks smart. Like a jersey when it's sitting
looks
on
like
them.
A shirt, but it's actually velcroed.
We were going to try and do that at Hills to have the velcro going up the back. That is very cool.
That is so smart.
We don't. It's not better, Velcro, but we have similar at Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is your goalkeeper jersey at Lions? I don't remember.
Currently, we use grey at the moment.
Yeah, Latcham wears grey.
Ugly grey. Yeah.
Wasn't that purple?
Oh, there's the. Oh, it's not the seventh. So when I'm the goalkeeper, I wear purple.
Because you've got a purple jersey, I assume.
Yeah, because it's one from the actual senior Lions team. Whereas the grey is our training kit that we put on as a keeper kit whenever we actually need to wear a proper keeper kit. I have a green one floating around somewhere as well.
I've got a bunch for Hills. I've got a pink one and a blue one.
Yeah, over a minute into stoppages. It's pretty clear at the top of the box. I think the English are going for a boom boom.
A boom boom? It's boom boom time.
It's not boom boom time.
It's boom boom time.
It might be boom boom time.
No. They dummied the boom boom.
They dummied the boom boom.
Now, I'd like to say, me and Jax commended them in the previous game when they had the plus one for the minutes on stoppage
and
said how good that was. They have not done it since.
Yeah, they stopped that. That's annoying.
For our Spotify listeners, we're not going to give context, and we're just going to have a spontaneous
moan.
No, I don't think we're putting this on Spotify, are we?
No, yeah, we are. I don't know if the video will go up with it or not. Because when I You know how I was saying about the 2 gigabytes, Matt? Well, the last recording was 1.2. So it might actually be all right. Don't know if the video goes up.
Oh,
with
the ball's
it.
Rolling here.
Yeah.
Also, we've had 2 pushover goals disallowed this Euros at the moment.
Which is cool because it is in the rules, so you can't push the ball over.
Well, the ball has to be rolling. In both those scenarios, the ball was not rolling. And there it is.
That's full time.
Full time.
I'll give you bloody goal predictions to you.
Yep, both Matthew and myself bang on the money, 6-0. Matthew, though, no points per second.
Equal first, excuse me.
I made the prediction before
you
did.
Yeah, he did it first.
No points per second.
Other scores around the grounds. The Raiders and the Sharks are currently nil. currently nil all 18 minutes in. And
full time in the AFL. Lions 100, Collingwood 71.
They actually demolished them. We love when Collingwood choke.
I may or may not have taken a moment during the end of that commentary to post that song to my Facebook page.
Okay. So they're gonna play Geelong in the final. It's gonna be a repeat of the quarterfinal.
If I recall correctly, it'll be the Ash Barty contest. So from memory, she's a Geelong fan. Actually, let me fact check myself. I'm gonna have a live fact checking.
Yeah, the live fact checking. After you do that, I might wrap the recording up too.
Live fact check. I have spread fake news. Ash Barty is a fanatical Richmond supporter.
How dare you get information wrong on my podcast, Tom?
I corrected it, thank you.
That is a
okay. Well, I got the jerseys of the Belgians and the thing is round the wrong way.
Yeah, but that's okay, Matt. We pardon that.
Whereas Tom's mistake is unacceptable.
All right. Well, I guess thank you. Thanks everyone for listening. Wow.
If you've made it through, I don't know how you would.
Amazing commentary.
If you somehow stomach this, well done. You have an imaginary gold star. We'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, beautiful.